Oh, maybe I see some. Maybe she's up there. I see some. Aha! There she is. Okay. Okay, so welcome, everybody. And I think I pretty much know all of you. But in case if some of you, if we haven't met, my name is Mari. I'm from Finland, and I'm Bobby's wife, and he was the pastor who did the first session. And we have been missionaries in my home country for the past 10 years, and just doing a church plant in Turku and also another one in Helsinki. And yeah, mom of Russell and Grace, maybe you met them already as well. And yeah, so I guess I need to use this, and we are recording, so you can pray for me. That was my one request. I can do this if I don't have to be recorded, but maybe we just stream it and then take it off or whatever. Okay, so why don't we just start with the word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you, and Lord, I just thank you that you want to speak to us today, and you want to speak to us in this moment. And I just pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts to hear your word and to receive from you. And I pray, Lord, that from the things I say, I pray that the girls would remember the things that you want them to remember. And the other things would just go away. And Lord, I know that you love us deeply, each and every one of us, and we all have some kind of story and journey that we got here today. And I pray, Lord, that you would just carry us on and help us to walk tighter, closer to your heart and closer to you, Jesus. And I just pray, Lord, that you bring your word to our heart, Lord. We don't want to have it as an intellectual exercise, Lord, but something that is living and lively and produces the fruit that you intended it to do. So we love you, Lord, and just commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I just say briefly about my husband was asking me, like, hey, what if you would do the workshop this year for the women? And I was like, immediately, no, too busy, can't do that. And I do Sunday school for children in our home church a lot, and sometimes women study, but I don't teach very often adults. And I was like, no way, not going to do it. And I was reading at the same time Kay Smith's book about pleasing God, and there happened to be a passage about how we need to check everything with the Lord before, and I was like, oh, how funny. And then I was like, hey, by the way, I actually never asked from the Lord, like, should I do it? I just went ahead and said, no, I don't find it comfortable. And so I prayed about it, and I just really felt like the Lord spoke to my heart about talking about bondages and freedom in Christ. And I was like, okay, Bobby, I kind of felt like I wasn't obedient to the Lord, so maybe next year, you know. And he's like, well, I actually told them that you're still thinking about it, because I felt you're supposed to do it, so... So that's how we're here, and so I'm kind of, you know, felt like that was my being obedient to the Lord, and so anyhow, that thought from the bondages kind of took me into starting to study the word, what does the Bible talk about them, and pretty much everywhere it came to talking about the sin, and I thought, oh, I don't want to be a bummer, talk about the sin all the time, the whole study about it, and just praying, like, Lord, what is it that you want for us, want to speak to us? And then I came to that passage in Exodus 20 and 2 and 3, where it says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And then he went to saying the Ten Commandments, what were known as, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So the Lord said to the Israelites that, I am your God, I have brought you out of the bondage. So here out, I'm gonna say something to you. And I think we all have a testimony. Somehow we either were raised in a Christian home or we got saved from a very different lifestyle that we are today, or maybe even someone that isn't yet saved or doesn't know the Lord. And I thought for myself too, I don't know personally, as being raised in a Christian home, I did not have the sort of what you say a sin life where you drastically, you know, addiction or something like that, that the Lord saved you from. But as we walk with the Lord, we do know that there are plenty of things that we can be in bondage to, and the life that we used to have, or the convictions that the Lord brings us and moves us on, can still have tides to us or tempt us, so to say. And but in any time, anyway, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, when we talk about the bondage, or when the Bible talks about the bondage, it's usually the picture of sin and being held captive by something. And then I'm thinking about how Jesus said that he didn't come to break the law, or he came to fulfill the law. And in Marcus 12 and 30, or Mark in English, sorry. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. So we hear first the Lord saying to the Israelites, don't go back to the bondage. Have me as your first priority. And then Jesus says on those words, what is the first commandment? Is to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, your mind, and your strength. And we were going this through actually with the girls back in Turku, that we do separate studies from the heart, the mind, the strength, and kind of went deeper on each of them, talked about spiritual warfare and different things. And but I thought now, just we kind of felt like the Lord was wanting us to focus on the heart. And I thought that it was a good timing of the study, that this is kind of in the beginning of the conference, to encourage us. And I feel like very much challenged myself with the word of asking the Lord to, during this study and during this conference, to that we are dealing with our heart properly and letting the Lord deal with our heart. And why was it important for the Israelites to follow God's commandments that he gave to them? In Deuteronomy 6 and 3, it says, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and thee may, and that ye may increase. And I thought that the same way is for us to follow God's laws and keeping our heart with all diligence and loving the Lord from our heart, our mind, our strength, is that it is going to be well with us and that we may increase. And maybe more so spiritually speaking, that we can grow with the Lord and in the Lord. So another one passage is in Jeremiah 17 and 10. And you can either turn, or I can just go ahead and read from here. So, I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. So first God says, love me from your heart. And then in Jeremiah, it talks about, I'm testing the mind, the heart, and I give to each one according to his ways. So two separate things, that we follow the Lord so that it is well with us, but then also God is also giving us according to our ways. And I think sometimes as Christians, we are kind of shy to talk about it because we know that our salvation is by grace through faith. That's nothing that we can add to. But there's many passages such as this that talks about that we can please God the way we live, and we can deal our sin life and ourselves daily to a way whereas we can be in a close relationship with the Lord and hear his voice better. And I think this is also encouraging, that God's, you know, giving first the law or the commandment and then asking, you know, I'm going to weigh that, how it is with you, and I'm going to also reward you for it. And so, yeah, let's look a little bit about some things about the heart, the physical heart. Obviously, very, very small organ, about 300 grams, but very important. And without it properly functioning, there is no life. And is in the same way with our spiritual heart as well. It's very vital. And as Christians, when we talk about the heart, you know, there's many ways, you know, you've heard the different ways how people witness that there's a shape of a cross in your heart, or there's a void, or things like that. And sometimes it's interesting with teaching children, because they ask very challenging, simple but challenging questions, like, you know, if Jesus can live in my heart, how can he live in someone else's heart? Because it doesn't fit. Or how can he be in two places at the same time? Or he must be very small. I wrote down some of the things that Russell has said when he was little. It's like, he must be pretty small because he fits in my heart. But obviously we understand that we are talking about more of the issues of spiritual life and the matter of the inner man. And yeah, our spiritual life and the inner person. And you remember many passages where Jesus is talking about the heart, bringing it, oh, it doesn't matter if you outwardly try to keep the law, but what's in the heart. And how he was very harsh, in my opinion too, to the Pharisees, that he would say, like, you know, you keep it outwardly, but where is your heart in it? And that was something that was very, very important then, and it is very important today to the Lord. And someone said this, it's a very strong word, but I think it's very convicting in many ways, that biblical Christianity centers in an inward, intimate walk with God by faith, and anything else is nothing more than religious hypocrisy. And I think that that's one of those things too, when you get saved and you understand where you were saved from, and you have this, you know, fresh, new way of just humbly walking with the Lord. But then sometimes when we walk with the Lord longer, we can have a tendency to just know how to act as a Christian and, you know, say the right things. And I thought today also the last teaching we heard about, just kind of saying the Christian answer when someone asks how you're doing. And I understand there's a proper time for things, but sometimes we, you know, do shame or something, we want to hide what's really going in the heart, and we just want to, like, keep the pretty picture. And I think we all are alike in that, you know. No one wants to be, like, on a worst moment when you are angry to your kids, to just see, observe, this is who you are as a person. So in that way, the Lord spoke those words. And to, for example, another passage that I took here, 1 Samuel 16 and 7, it talked about Lord not being pleased by Saul, and says that God did not look in his stature, his appearance, the same way we do as people, but God sees to the heart. The man looked the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And I think that's a good thing for us too. And it can also be thing that it challenges us in a way. And then another kind of, why is it important? Why is so important the heart? We talked about that. It's very vital for our life. But the Bible also talks about that our actions, our pursuits in life, they all flow from that heart. Everything that's in there, it comes out way or another, the way we perceive the world and the way we perceive others. Hebrews 4 and 12 talks about that, how God's word is quick and powerful, and it discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So God's word is really good too. The more we are in it, the more the Lord shows us who we are into comparison and what he wants to encourage us with, how he sees us, and not the same way the world sees us, or perhaps others might see us. And there's one really good quote by Elizabeth Elliot that I took here, and it goes like this. The word of God I think of as a straight edge, which shows up our crookedness. And we don't often know how crooked our thinking is until we line it up with the straight edge of the scripture. And very true. And in Psalm 139 and 23, it says that, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And Proverbs 4:23. I was actually planning on having you read these, but as we are recording, it won't go on it, so I'm just going to read it from here. So, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And then in Mark 6:19 and 21, it talks about that familiar passage for us where our treasures are there, our heart is as well. So, many multiple other scriptures about that. I just took few of them. And yeah, I think for all of us that desire is to be more Christ-like and have that character. And then there's different tools that God uses to shape our hearts. I wonder though, there's quite many scriptures here. I would like you to read them. So maybe we can do something as I just say the passage here and then either we edit it out, or at least people that are listening and streaming can hear the place. So would someone take Galatians 5:16 through 26? Yeah, Gary. So these are the tools that the Lord is using in our life to shape that heart, kind of. So the first one is on the topic, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts after the Spirit, against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another.
Yeah, so, thank you. And so the Holy Spirit being a great helper for us, and I think that that's something that I wish I would encourage other more, and that we would encourage one another more with just asking the Holy Spirit to fill us and be more of knowing that. I don't know, I just kind of going off on that, but there's a lot of talk about constantly in sort of in theology how to better our walks and how to kind of like this big exercise of being a Christian and how we can kind of by work base to get somewhere or yeah, just to get closer to the Lord. And I just often think of being reminded about how the early church, how the Lord said to them to wait till they are powered by the Holy Spirit. So I think for us too, that when we are dealing with our heart, is that we really need the Holy Spirit. We need the Lord to reveal things to us, but then also as He does to help us to get that through, as we know that we can't on our own do anything. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And then other tool, obviously the truth of God's word. And if anybody would want to read Psalm 19, verses 7 through 14. It's just a sweet passage about God's word. So Psalm 19, 7 and 14. Seven through 14, yeah.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
I love that one. Those verses, as there's so much where it's like pure, good, wholesome, something that we know we can always trust in God's word for us, and know that any time invested on it, it's only going to benefit us. And I also love the way with the psalm writer, in that we knew that David was not perfect and he failed greatly. That the heart that he had towards the Lord, saying when he realized his sin, that he was broken before the Lord, and that he asks God, show me who I am in the light of your truth, not the way how I might perceive myself. So yeah. And then third one, the trials and testing of life. And in James 1, and then verses 2-4. Someone would want to read that. So James 1, 2, and 4.
I'll read it once I find it.
All right, we can wait.
Can someone tell me, is it after Ephesians or before?
After. right after Hebrews. Chapter 1 and then verse 2 and 4, 2 through 4.
My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing.
Amen. Yeah, many times when you're not going through a trial, reading, consider it all joy, it's very nice thought. But then when you're going through a hard trial in life, it's not joyful. You know, it's hard to, you want to get out of it. You don't want to embrace it. But God can give us this heart to say, I'm going to see it as joy. I want to consider it as such. And I know that God is testing the faith, and there is producing a good fruit through the trial. So, yeah, I think that's a good word for all of us that are going through a trial in life. And then Proverbs 27 and 17. Someone would read that verse. Alex.
As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend.
That's right. So the ministry of others. So the tools God's using to deal with our heart was the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the truth of his word, the trials and a testing of our life, and the ministry of others. And the last one I find that is a very effective one when we are dealing it with honestly. And many times I wrote here that these tools are truly effective, but we need the personal diligence and honesty dealing with the heart. So I think that also the ministry with others, I find it, perhaps we can get back to it a little bit later, but I find it that is such an important tool in the church. If we really took it as the way how God has intended us, that there's going to be sparks, you know, there's going to be character differences, there are going to be sin issues, there's going to be things that the Lord would want us to deal with as being part of a body. And I think that many times, I think it's same in Sweden, but it is in Finland very much so that we're afraid of offending others. So we kind of see issues, but we're kind of like, okay, well, the Lord is going to deal with that. And then we're not being, the tool sort of, it's not being effective when we're not being, you know, real with one another. And I think that's, you know, we're only going to sort of be left out ourselves from the blessing. But so, yeah, we looked into the heart and how God's dealing with our heart, how, and then there's a few more things I wanted to talk about is, why does our heart need the guarding? Why do we need to keep it, as we read that verse that the issues of life flows from our heart? So we naturally don't think like God does. The natural man doesn't do the things of the Spirit. And as we might have family members that are not Christian, or maybe are Christian but are not walking in the Spirit, the choices and things we do when we want to please the Lord might be very troubling to them. So anyhow, unless we are in God's Word, our natural man doesn't think this way, the way God intends us to do. But then when we spend time with the Lord, we allow His Spirit to dwell in us and minister to us, then we naturally start doing those things that God intends us to do and to live by the Spirit. And another thing why our heart needs guarding is that we are prone to wonder, and we want to be in charge of our own lives. And I think that that's definitely something, I think, for everybody, but for us women and maybe myself, I like to know what's going to happen next, and I like to be in control. And I used to think it was so funny before I got married. I said always that I'm such a flexible person, and I actually really thought that that was a characteristic of me, and then I found out that I wasn't that flexible. And especially having children, it was kind of thinking, I think some reasons for having our first one was difficult, because I thought that if I do all the right things, out comes perfectly sleeping baby that's never fussy, and you know. So I would go great lengths on reading things, and then just discovering that, yeah, just that's not the way how it goes. And how it oftentimes for us as Christians too, it's, we're kind of like, okay, Lord, I'm doing these things, so now take the trial away. Or I'm doing these things, now bless me. Or give me something that I'm wanting, or, you know, but yeah. Anyhow, so we need to be controlled and governed by God, our hearts, not by ourselves. And yeah, so how can we practically guard our hearts? This was something we discussed with the girls in Turku, like just sort of open discussion. So maybe I'll do that too, and I'll just say kind of loud what you say so it comes up here. I have some things too. So how can we practically guard our hearts? We talked a little bit about it, but what are things that helps? If there's something that hasn't been mentioned, or if you just want to say something else. Yep, staying in the Word, studying the scriptures, and taking God's Word as authority over our life, instead of like the verse we looked and the Elizabeth Elliot quote to say that the Bible is the straight edge, and then we are bending towards it, not the other way around. Yeah, that one.
I think also discarding like what comes into, like we're so influenced by everything, we're watching TV and reading newspaper or magazines, or
yeah.
I think sometimes we need to be able to balance that out with how much of the word am I also getting in, like, so that that doesn't become the dominant, like the world, the current worldview doesn't become the dominant influence on my heart.
Exactly.
So I can so easily all of a sudden just like really start to sway my,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and I find it oftentimes too that if you're interested about things, like you start reading about something, oh, some child development or something like that, you get totally into, and it's hard to sometimes discern. So it's like if we are off balance from things, we can easily be pursued by something else, or, you know, and of course, this time that we're living, we're bombarded with everything all the time that would take our eyes off from the Lord and His Word. And I just feel like I'm starting to think, I'm like, maybe I'm like ADD or something, because many times I take the Bible, the kids are sleeping, or everything is perfectly fine, but I have very hard time focusing, and I'm always thinking about like, oh, I have to go do this or that, and so to be asking the Lord to help with that, to stay in the Word, and I think it's also a really good test for us to sort of see like proportion of the Bible and other books, even if they're good books, but blogs, other things, because then we're feeding what other people's, what the Lord might be saying to them, which is great too. There's a lot of good resources, but just to come to study the Word on our own, I think that's very important. So yeah. One thing I wrote also, just to be hearing God's Word. So be attending a church regularly. And I understand some of you might be living far from a Bible teaching church, and it might not be opportunity, but still encouraging to be part of a body, be in fellowship, and then, you know, be feeding, maybe listening online teachings or things that you get fed. And yeah. Fellowship, being part of a body, that's also guarding our hearts, being around other born-again Christians and prayer, of course, being spending that time with the Lord in prayer. And I wrote also here that when the Lord convicts us for something, then walk away from that instead of entertaining it, or sort of like the Lord says, you know, don't look back to the Egypt, don't go back to the bondage. Keep your heart in those things. And I find it too in personal life, but through readings too, that many times we might have sort of a roadblock when God's saying us something that we need to let go or we need to do, and we're not doing it. It's like we're not going forward with the Lord till we deal with what God is showing us to deal with. And then it's almost like, oh, how easy was that? The Lord just opens our eyes to see. And one other thing I wrote also, how we can guard our hearts, is to find a person that you can be accountable. So I think that that's also something that we don't really use that blessing that could be for one of, to us ourselves, to confess our sins to one another and to be more, yeah, just to be like, I'm struggling with this. I no longer, I'm done with this sin in my life. So I'm going to share it with you. And I know the enemy would want to throw the shame, but I am not going to go there. So I'm going to, I'm going to share this so that I can be accountable with. And I think that's a one really good way of keeping our hearts. And I thought maybe we can just pause and I just ask a few questions, and you don't have to raise your hands or if you want to write down, but kind of like, yeah, how well am I guarding or keeping my heart? And is the condition of my heart a concern to me? So how well am I guarding my heart? 1 to 10, not skip. So then, another, we talked about guarding our hearts, but then also giving our hearts. And many times in small churches, giving your heart, you kind of feel like there is, it's kind of risky because your heart may be broken. And maybe I feel like, just in honesty, being 10 years in ministry, I never thought that that side of the things were so hard, being your heart broken over sin, over just relational issues with people, and just being able to not hold on to those things and kind of putting behind and continuing with the Lord. And I feel like, I feel like I greatly, you know, just before you, just to say that I'm challenged with that very much. And, I think that one of the things the Lord would want us to continually be giving our heart out, because in the end, He is there to take care of it. It's being, giving sacrificial love, and it is many times walking by faith rather than by sight. But it is also very hard and painful. And I think that we have the greatest example in Jesus in that he knew the people that would betray him, but he still loved them. And he still called them disciples, or Judas, so to speak. But there was many things too that Jesus knew that Peter was going to deny him, but it didn't cause him not to embrace him with all the love. And I thought to take a few more things about kind of closing from the thought of bondage to, I'm not sure if you're following with me, hope you are, but we also have been going with the girls in in Turku with very slowly, 1 Corinthians. We actually started before the conference had it, and we still are like halfway. but anyhow, we took a long break, so I haven't been teaching like 2 verses at a time. But anyhow, some of the thoughts that kind of came through those studies, and it's also been a book that has been 2 years in a row we're studying here. So a couple of things about the bondage that oftentimes as we see it, some kind of crazy, sinful life or however we may perceive that. But sometimes bondage can be things such as fear of man. And I can just totally relate to that. I feel like I realized that pretty much in my 20s, now I'm in my 30s, but I've been seeking a lot of ways to really please man, to want people to like me. And I feel like as a child, I grew up being liked by teachers or my violin teachers or whatever. But then I came into ministry and I realized that people don't really like me, or I felt that way. And kind of trying to figure out ways, okay, so how can I be there for this person? How can I do that? How can I, you know, be all and everything for people? And I think for me, I've gone through, just being honest before you, I've gone through last year, just a thing of dealing with my family, something that's been very painful for me, whereas I had to sort of draw lines and I had to kind of realize that I'm being sort of wanting to please my mom very much and kind of learning to dealt with that with my mom. And it was really, really painful because you sort of think that you don't have to deal with those things in your 30s. But the Lord just kind of kept bringing up things that I realized that directly influence how I'm with other Christians and how I'm with people in church, is that I need to let go of that and I need to also be who God made me to be. So not to hold back of something like, I can't do that because people think I'll want to be seen or something, you know, I can't teach, I have to like explain it this way, I'm just sharing here, you know. Having those kinds of feelings because you just don't want anybody to feel bad of you or have, you know, thoughts towards you that you don't want them to have. And that verse have been so much in my heart, the Lord's been speaking to me in Galatians 1:10, where it says, so Galatians 1:10, where it says, "For do I now pursue men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." And it's very powerful to think that if I seek to please men, I no longer serve the Lord. And many times when we please God, we also please other people, but not always. And then we have that choice. Well, which one do we want to please? And you know, sometimes it's not just other men, it's ourselves. You know, we might be quite the taskmaster for ourselves, that unless my house doesn't look like this, I'm not going to be okay with myself. Whereas the Lord might call me to be more with my children instead of cleaning my house. Or, you know, whatever that may be, and you know, not being so worried, someone's coming over, I'm just saying, because I'm like that. So, little confession here. Many of those things, it's like you don't know that unless maybe the Lord just kind of shines his light. And you get kind of like, oh, okay, wow, I don't know if I wanted to receive that. But then there's that blessing when we embrace it the way God intends us to do. So the fear of man, and also in Proverbs 29:25, it talks about the fear of man brings a snare, but who puts his trust in the Lord will be saved. So it's kind of like a bondage and a snare that comes over our life, that when we are fearful of man, and whether it's at school or at workplace or even parents, you know, just to know that we are ought to first fear the Lord above all that, all others. And then I know that over the years, because of this, I have not also dealt with things with people the way I ought to dealt them. You know, something that's said to me or something that maybe just something that you observe, a sin issue or something, you're kind of like, well, you just don't deal with it. You know, you don't want to be the mean one. You don't want to be the bad guy. And sometimes that's, God calls us to do that. And then we kind of say to the Lord, well, I did what you asked me to do. Where does the peace come from? Where does the easiness come from? And it doesn't always come like that. But it's like, trust me. And like we, you know, went that passage that the Lord searched the heart and he rewards us according to it. And it might not be in this time at all, but it will surely be in heaven. And other things, how are we with time? I think we're okay. A couple other things that are bondages that in 1 Corinthians also talk about being anxious for things, being worrying over things. I think that's something, as you know, having friends or ministering to girls, it seems like most of us in some point of our life we worry about something or have fears over things. And the classic example with Martha and Mary is that you're probably all very familiar with that, but there was the better part that Mary chose that Martha didn't. And you know, just being tapped by the Lord also, are you choosing the better part? When the Lord calls you, you know, it's like we can be satisfied with surface level things, but I believe all of us want that deep walk with the Lord, that, you know, that we know we hear God's voice, that we know that we have a close walk with him. And that's my desire. And many times it's kind of like, don't be anxious for nothing, but bring it in prayer to the Lord. We kind of get that first, but don't be anxious, being anxious. And then you forgot that you're supposed to bring it to the Lord in prayer. And it's not sin to say, Lord, I am anxious. You know, I can't help it. Please help me. You know, to be honest with yourself, be dealing with those things and just not to take it as, well, that's just my character. I'm just the kind of person who always worry and always anxious, but that's the way how it's going to be. But to be like, hey, no, it doesn't have to be that way. I don't have to wreck my health, or I don't have to be uptight to people around me or controlling with that. But, you know, the Lord wants to free us, because he as well is a bondage. And I have some passages, but I think we're just going to skip over them. And then one, I just have a couple more things. Pride, another thing that in Corinthians, Paul was dealing a lot about that when there was those divisions, like, I want support Apollos, I'm for Paul, I'm for Cephas. And kind of what was seen there was that, and I think we have it now too a lot with the theological debates on things, it's not so much about, look at this guy, he's awesome, but it's like, look at me, I'm awesome because I follow this person. So anyhow, just spiritual pride also asking the Lord to show us when we see that in us, or ask him to show us when we don't see it in us, because I'm sure that we all have pride. And I remember this was one of the things as being maybe not a teenager, maybe just a young adult, and I always used to think that I was very humble. And then I heard someone saying, like, that's quite prideful to think you're very humble. And so I asked the Lord, like, Lord, you know, just, well, show me then if I am prideful, like, where is it? And I felt like all I felt was like my pride, or me being offended, or me, something about me. And pride is definitely a snare or bondage. And in James 4 and 6, it talks about that, how God's spirit is against somebody who is proud. And I often think like, well, I need all the spirit of God I can get. So please, Lord, help me to see me accurately, not to be prideful, not to, and I think it comes from that you know, not to esteem yourself higher than you ought to, and not higher than anybody else, seeing yourself lower and praying for opportunities to serve, take the low road. And then when the Lord gives you that, then say, thank you, Jesus, because you're building your character in me. And, yeah, that's definitely, and I think what pride is also does is that it causes us not to be genuine, and sometimes we can, I don't know, just go long ways in life not being genuine and kind of having that prideful front of us. And I think it's interesting, as you know, when people approach you about something that you don't like to hear, you might be like, kind of like, what's your first reaction? I'm not like that. And it's like, that's where you see the pride coming up. And yeah, sometimes with your family, they're honest enough because they tell you things kind of straightforward. So then it's good to see if you get into this kind of, that's pride that's working there. Yeah, and then another thing with we went through that also in our First Corinthians studies, but I think it's also something that's a bondage that women deal with a lot, is envy and comparison. And I remember I was looking last year's women's workshop, and I just had written down there one thing Ingalil was saying, that in the body of Christ there's no space for comparison. And I thought it was really well put, because we know what it does. It's just ugly. It's with women working together and comparing each other or competing, it's very confusing to the world, and it's very hard for others to be like, because I think that we picked on those things, you know. As a woman, and I think it's also something that we often think of as we are saying God didn't do a good job with someone that you might feel envious towards. Like, yeah, like some things, kind of like when we feel tempted to compare, you know, rather to say, Lord, I bless that person, and I pray, God, that as they're growing in the Lord, that I'm growing as well. And I think one of the best cure in that is to start thanking the Lord what he's given to you and who you are in Christ, and knowing that there's no one else like you. And I think as women, we tend to be like, okay, we are supposed to look like this, or we're supposed to talk like this, or it goes on in the world, but I think it does in the church too. Yes, that we're not the genuine people that God made us to be. And whether we're intro or extroverted or different personalities, that I think it's something that we should encourage us with, and also deal with it the way that we don't give it, we recognize it as sin. That we don't say like, okay, well, you know what, kind of other people sin, they need to deal with it, but my own, it's kind of like, it's okay. God's okay with that, you know? And a couple verses on the Proverbs 14:30 says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is a rottenness to the bones. And I thought that this passage is also very, Proverbs 27 and 4 says that wrath is cruel, anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? And that's something, you know, many times maybe we don't look at it from the point of view that if we are tempted to compare ourselves or envy somebody, it can be very hurtful to that person. Because we might be snappy to them, or we might, in our head to sort of like reduce them or say like whether, you know, if they, for example, say to us something like challenging, it's like, oh, you know, I don't want to hear that. And I think it's, yeah, there's always, the Bible says that we all are sinners and we all are in a journey of growing with the Lord. So I think that puts you in that place where you can say, oh, so somebody is so good in something and I'm not, because we're all, work in progress. The Lord is all graciously working in us. And, yeah. And we see those things many times in the Bible too, towards the Lord, that he was, because of envy, he was, released to the hands of the enemy, so to speak. And also envy is one of those things also, as well as pride too, that belongs to the old man. So kind of as we see rising, it's like we have the tools to reckon it dead and to say, this is not who God made me. I don't want to own this. And I think one of the things also just want to mention really briefly is bitterness. And I think that that's something that we women maybe don't oftentimes notice till the Lord shows that to us. And, you know, maybe we know, you know, just bitterness is not a good thing for us. And maybe you haven't experienced it, maybe you have, so then maybe you know what I'm talking about. But it just kind of kills the joy and it takes away from the blessing that the Lord would have for us, and it causes us to be stuck into things. And many times the things that we're bitterned over, we might not be able to change, but we can change, or we can ask the Lord to change our heart in dealing with them. And yeah, that's definitely something that I think it's interesting also, as Paul encourages Maria. Yeah. Oh, okay. No, go ahead.
I think there are some things that are intertwined, like, it all comes again in relations with people. Things happen, conflicts happen, someone says something or behaves in a certain manner and you react or the other one reacts.
Yeah.
And there comes the fear of confrontation, fear of man, or you don't want to hurt, you would like to say something but you don't. I speak from personal experience.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what's the balance between let me confront this, oh, love covers a lot of sins.
Yeah.
Then you don't take it up.
Yeah.
And then it all comes under the mantle of being a good Christian.
Yeah.
And then you realize you're fighting a lot of things in your own heart, and then you say, I sin, all of these things. I'm supposed to be the Christian, and then you reason with yourself, and I'm supposed to be good, you know, and fighting off a lot so that you could be good. And maybe it is a situation where you should pick things up.
Yeah.
And not that it has bought.
Yeah.
And what's, you know, and then without you wanting or even thinking about it, you end up being resentful and bitter.
Yeah.
And you don't even recognize it because it did hurt you.
Sure.
And you have not spoken about it because sometimes it feels like because of the lack of sincerity and because of lack of transparency towards one another in the body of Christ, we sort of try to be good on our own.
Yeah.
And then we go home and we try to better ourselves. We try to mental everything or psychologize everything, and then we miss the part with God help me.
Yeah.
Or you have to come to such a horrible limit to be able to say that.
Yeah.
And then you
after you go home and try to battle alone, then you go and try to be the good Christian with all of your sisters.
Yeah.
And then you're not able to find those trustworthy relationships where you can just be naked and say, you know what, I'm choking in this to the ground.
Yeah.
And I don't care if you think worse of me right now, that I'm such a horrible person, but just help me out. Help me come out of this.
Yeah.
And that it does not exist.
Yeah.
Or it exists in such a small measure. We are all drowning without rescuing each other. It's absolutely unbelievable. And many times it makes me think of that verse when it says, when Paul said that we are not aware. We do not walk as if we are unaware of the schemes of the devil.
Yeah.
But we are walking like that.
Yeah.
Because it destroys us.
Yeah.
And we are not, and I feel like women have such a part to play when it comes to community. Scandinavia is such a hard place.
Yeah.
It's tremendous. And if somehow these walls of ice and everything could just be broken down and just come together, I don't know how, just let God be God. And I don't know. So it's like, I have so many questions, like, you know, how do we handle this?
Yeah.
And so many of us, I'm sure, listen to preachings. We feel touched. We can share a little itsy-bitsy part to someone, and we pray, and then you feel a little bit encouraged. It's like, I'll make it this way. And then another one comes, and you know, what's the balance between dealing with a conflict at the right time? If you haven't dealt with a conflict, when should you pick it up? How long back can you go to make things right?
Yeah.
Sweep it off, forget everything, forgive. How do we go about? Of course we forgive, but then there are still things that you have to deal with.
Yeah.
Both you and the other person, or God knows what, maybe an entire community.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is covered under love covers a multitude of sins. I mean, because you are there in that situation, I don't know how you feel, but sometimes you feel like bursting. You know, like, it's like, I'm not sure I can cover this.
Yeah.
What does it actually mean to be a good Christian?
Yeah.
Sweeping everything under the rug and pretend like nothing happened and just...
I think
so helpful to us.
Yeah.
To interact with one another. With so many of us feel like that.
Yeah. I relate to that much, and it's a lot something that people go through too. And I think that many times when we talk about, we pray for awakening, we pray for revival, we pray that the lost would be saved. But as we, you know that it always starts with one. You know, it starts from one person being grieved over sin. One person saying, Lord, move me, you know. And, you know, we've gone through that also in our church, whereas as it's, you know, sometimes there are seasons that you feel like the Lord just doesn't open a door for it. You keep praying for something. And I don't know. I just feel like, as I see it in the light of the scripture, and as I can just compare it to some of the time of being in ministry, not that long, but sometime that it's best to deal with it right away, you know? And I think that if you can't move on yourself, it's like same as saying, okay, there's something someone said to me that were offensive, so I can pray about it. But then if it still keep bothering me, then why not let the other person know, hey, by the way, when you said this, did you mean that? Because this is how it made me feel, you know? And being humble, because that takes a humility from our part to say that we were offended, you know? It's like our pride is like, I cannot be offended because I'm just beyond that, you know, or I'm above that or something like that. And I think that that's, you know, that's kind of like with the Corinthians church, in the first passages, they had tremendous pride issues. They were not willing to hear Paul out. They were having all these, you know, divisions there. And then when they were found in having the sexual sin in the church, they were not confronting it. They were just kind of like boasting because they were so gracious. And that's what Paul was having an issue with. Not, he was of course dealing with the sin, but also dealing with the people. Like how they were sort of, I think in that way that they were being boastful, that we are so forgiving and we're not dealing with things. And I don't think that's at all what the Lord would want us to do. But I think as women, it's like there's that balance where you need the Spirit, you need the Lord to show you. Because I think that there are some people that, you know, just feel like they have a gift of rebuking, and then you can just take that to one extent. But then I do believe that there, God gives us to, like, I can see that when you say about it, this is a burden in your heart. And as you keep bringing it to the Lord, He's gonna, you know, show you what to do. And in that comes the honesty. Lord, let me be willing to do what is it that you ask me to do, you know. And I think that many times we Christians, I totally relate to that, in that whole thought of pleasing men is about being that good Christian and not dealing with things that sometimes we obviously see. And then, but I think that when the Lord brings it even deeper, where we're having that, what Paul encouraged the Corinthians to have, that heart of grief. So it's no longer me going to tell someone what to do. It's about, because I'm grieved by this. And you go to the person in humility saying, please see this. You know, please reckon that there is a sin issue here. And God would not want you to be in this, you know. And the same way, if it is like superficialness or fakeness or lack of genuineness or however you want to put it, then, you know, what is there wrong to say, please see this with me, you know. This is, I'm aching because of this, you know. And then I think a really good cure for that would be to start praying together. Just to be like, hey, we don't have words to something doesn't feel right. Hey, why don't we just pray together? Let's see what the Lord does with that. And I think with relationships too, it takes a lot of time, a lot of investment, and a lot of kind of, yeah, you can only be in one level if not willing to go to the hard things. But there's also blessing by being genuine and be real with one another, be dealing with things. Yeah. But I agree with that so much, with what you were just saying about women having this, an amazing ability with the whole community idea in the church. And someone said once that it's like women bring up, like, we're like a thermostat, like, you know, making weather, what's the temperature in the church kind of way. And of course, that's a heavy burden, you know, to say exactly like that. But I think that in a way that we have an amazing ability to, if we are good with one another, to pray with one another and pray for the church, pray for our families, our children, our husbands, and the lost. But then when we have, you know, things, we don't often spend time together, or we kind of pull away. And that's kind of where I said, my heart already got broken, I'm not going to put it out again. And trusting that also, that I don't, like you were saying, if I understood right, that you mentioned about sort of drawing boundaries sometimes. And I think that that's healthy thing too. Sometimes it's not like someone is abusive and you say, oh, I'm just going to continue because I'm supposed to be a good Christian. And there are many things, of course, in the Bible too, where it talks about living peacefully with one another if we can. Sometimes it's not up to us, but what God is concerned is how our heart relates to that person. So someone might be as angry as you, or fake with you, or whatever that may be that you're struggling with, but you know that you're dealt your heart with the Lord. And I think that that's what God's been speaking to me a lot about, that you feel like, Lord, my heart is now right. Okay, fix the situation. And the situation might not be fixed, but it takes faith to trust and keep walking in that, what God shows you, and in the light of the scripture. So, yeah. But yeah, in closing, just want to encourage you guys with that. The Lord loves you tremendously, and He wants us to guard our hearts. And we can't do it on our own, but we can make the right steps toward that. And just, I don't know what's next. Do we? Let's see real quick on the session. Dinner is at
4:30 is the workshop.
Okay. But yeah, I would just really encourage you, like, in this time with the word that we have had, ask the Lord to show you, you know, ask the Lord to search your heart and ask Him the strength to make it right. If you need to make it right with people, or if I don't know, sometimes you can't make it right, but ask Him to help you to move on. And I think the one who's going to be blessed is you, because you have not holding to bitterness or fear, anxiety, or different things that can be bondage. And just being reminded one more that, like the Lord said to the Israelites, that don't go back to where the Lord has freed you from. And I don't know if that's a word for anybody specifically, but I think it's a good encouragement for all of us that walk in the freedom the Lord has given us. And if you need prayer, you know, just, I would love to pray, and there's, you know, find a sister that you can pray with, and if you want to confess, or, you know, just feel like you're in bondage, that you need to be freed by the Lord. It's only for your good, only for our good. Yeah, let's close in prayer. Jesus, we just thank you for your word, and I just want to say again, I pray, Lord, that what was from you, I pray that it would take hold of the heart, mine and my sister's. And I just pray for a good time here in the conference. And I pray, Lord, that you just remind everybody that you love them tremendously, and that you love them so much that you're concerned of our hearts. And Lord, that you want to mend what's broken, Lord. You want to heal. And Lord, you know what it feels to be pretty much everything from the world, to be rejected, to be hated, to be envied, to be bitter towards. And Lord, you know how to relate to us when we have those feelings. So help us not in pride hide them, but help us bring them to you, to confess them to you and find freedom. And we thank you, Lord, for this conference. And we just pray that we could leave being changed by you. In Jesus' name, amen.